Nerdaholics is your Nerd Tribal Podcast.
Welcome to Synthaholics. Thank you so much for downloading our episode. This week we have...
You're back.
My back is here.
You're back.
But we have David Duncan. Yes, I'm back.
Yay! David,
yes, he's back. Back again. So we have David Duncan, and we have our good friend from the Nerdynomicon, Robbie Palmer.
I think the last time you heard him...
Lick their... Wait a minute.
Crack?
How X-rated is this podcast again?
It can get as
blue as we want.
Fair enough.
Oh, I mean, like,
so,
it's been a
Duncan scrotum and his crack. That is acceptable as far as an intro in the Synthaholics world.
I mean, I don't think we've gone that far that quick in an intro before.
It has been a minute since I've been on the show.
Yeah, it has.
Just last time, all the hair out.
The last time was Event Horizon. Last Halloween
a
year
Jesus
ago.
Jesus Christ! Yeah, over a year ago.
Yeah,
That was a fun episode, though.
Oh, we did so have good.
Fun. That was a lot of fun.
Like we made the movie better.
I still maintain it was a very good movie, but yes, we did make it better.
No.
The only thing that possibly could have made it even better than that is splicing in the footage that was found in those salt mines.
Okay? Absolutely. I thought the movie was good. I just think we made the movie even better without our discussion. It's way more thought provoking and a lot more to think about when we watch it again.
Agreed. Which is how I like to roll. I know it's how you guys like to roll too, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sure. Well, another very fun episode that we are going to be talking something a little newer is The Mandalorian. This is the biggest rage on Disney Plus, and it is just taken fans by storm.
By stormtroopers.
They're dirty, dingy stormtroopers.
I hate myself.
Cheap joke.
It surpassed like Stranger Things in popularity after like just three episodes.
Oh my god, has it really?
That's what I'm reading. Although streaming numbers seem nebulous because everyone
none of them ever actually released their true rating scale.
They do, and then also I was seeing Discovery is the best streamed thing in lots of different places, and they're like, well, if Discovery is the best streamed thing, why is Stranger Things the thing the Mandalorian's dethroning and not Star Trek?
Yeah.
So it's all nebulous.
Maybe Star Trek is worldwide and Stranger Things has this very distinct Americana to it.
Very true.
Star Trek has much more of a universal appeal. You know what I mean?
It probably means America because Disney Plus, I was going to say Disney All Access, Disney Plus is only available in the U.S. right now, if I remember right. It hasn't yet to be released outside of the U.S.
I think that's true.
So maybe that's what that means. Maybe Discovery is worldwide.
I think that's true.
But they could just be saying things because they can say whatever they want since the numbers don't ever come out.
Sure, yeah. And they're Disney, so they control most of the world. They're a small government in themselves.
They're the third largest country.
just below the Vatican. So guys, we're only going to be talking about the first three episodes, and we're going to encapsulate not only what happens in those episodes, but also like our thoughts and feelings towards everything. So if you haven't seen The Mandalorian, we're going to try to keep it relatively spoiler-free for probably the first like 10 minutes or so, and then we'll just get into full spoilers and start talking about it. But without saying anything too revealing to anybody, if they want to keep it spoiler-free... Robbie, how did you feel about it? I know you're a big Boba Fett fan.
Oh, I'm a huge Boba Fett fan. I've got like two Boba Fett shirts. I've got a Boba Fett hat.
Your penis has like the is tattooed with Boba Fett's helmet on top of it.
My penis does not have Boba Fett's penis helmet on top of it. I do, however, have his pulse cannon on the left side. His jetpack is tattooed on my testicles. See, when I jump, I get air, okay? That is the way I like to think of that. The Mandalorian body armor starts from the waist up. That is the way the suit is built,
I guess. This is the way. This is the way. Yeah.
This is the way.
So when you've seen it, when you've seen this, these three first episodes, without getting into full spoilers, is it what you wanted to see out of a Star Wars series like this?
It is. This is, all right, without getting into spoilers, is discussing tone okay to get into this without giving some full spoilers?
Yeah.
Okay. Tone. All right. This is much more what I was kind of hoping that the standalone films would be. Okay. As much as I loved Rogue One, because it felt, aside from the very, very, very rushed beginning, it felt to me like Band of Brothers set in a Star Wars universe. You knew what was going to happen. You knew that they were going to die. I know, you know, opinions differ on this particular show, and I get that. I'm fine with it. You know, I'm cool with it. But to me, I loved that. Solo was an aggressively competent movie, although it didn't even feel like a Star Wars film to me. When I thought originally of what the extended universe was going to be, this is much more what I thought of. I thought of standalone stories that took place in the universe that was already created by George Lucas and company. I thought of stories that had nothing to do with Han Solo, had nothing to do with the Skywalkers, had nothing really to do with the Rebellion or the Empire. They just happen to be singleton stories that take place in the Star Wars backdrop. You know, give me a movie about the Lone Tusken Raider, you know, make it a remake of Dances with Wolves. I mean, fuck, James Cameron already
the
did it.
The one that got Avatar, away from Anakin, right? The one child that got away.
No, I don't even want that because I don't want Anakin involved in it, man.
Yeah, I'm feeling you, Robbie. I'm feeling you with that because I think that's what I've been always looking for is like something that doesn't tie in with the original trilogy or the prequels or even anything afterward. This is just standalone characters. They're in their own insular world. Yes, they're in the Star Wars world, but they're not. They're not tied to a bigger story arc.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I like that too, Dave. What about you?
This is the best thing that's happened to Star Wars since Return of the Jedi. This feels more like Star Wars than anything Disney has yet produced, and it just instantly felt like original trilogy Star Wars. Even without being connected to it at all, except for just costumes and Jawas and things you normally see in Star Wars. It just felt right. And
now, this is coming from someone that actually loves the new movies. I completely agree with you.
Yeah, I haven't been able to find any enjoyment in the new movies except for Han Solo, because that one just didn't anger me on any plot points or canon. It didn't seem to violate anything that we knew, so I was fine with it.
Solo, all the other ones, my biggest problem with Solo is it didn't challenge anything in any way. It didn't give anything in any way. It just existed. It was just like, hi, I'm a movie.
Filling in the colors, within the colors, yeah.
I mean, granted, yeah, exactly. It didn't do anything special, but it didn't do anything wrong, which is what my issue with all the other movies were. They did things wrong. This movie didn't do anything wrong. It just existed. And for that, it's the best of the Disney movies, in my opinion. But you know what would make Solo 100 times better? Ron Howard narrating it via Arrested Development.
Oh, that movie. Ron Howard narrating Solo Arrested Development style would have been a completely different movie.
It would have been amazing. I want the Ron Howard narration edit to Solo.
Can you picture Han Solo just trudging away from Kira? Her name was Kira, right?
Yeah.
Just trudging away from her at the beginning, just to that Charlie Brown Christmas music.
Yeah.
She has to leave Kira behind.
I'm
never gonna buy episode 8 unless it's part of a box set where you get all of them, or unless it's a Ron Howard edit where he does it, because I don't ever want to watch episode 8 ever again unless he does a voiceover for it. I will rewatch that movie for that. I would love a Ron Howard narration of all of the Star Wars movies.
Did you make up this, or is this coming from something?
I love Arrested Development, and I know Ron
Howard.
No,
I know Arrested Development.
And I know Ron Howard directed Solo, and he's all over Arrested Development, so this is just my idea. I love it. I need this in my life.
Okay, I didn't make the connection right away, so, okay.
Yeah, because Ron Howard directed Solo, so yeah, Ron Howard narrated Solo would be fantastic.
That's hilarious.
This is great. How about you, Aaron? What are your thoughts on
I think two episodes ago I talked about my first take on it without getting into spoilers.
Yes.
I really believe that this and I talked about this too, how this and we can get into this later if we want to, but how Discovery was launched and then how Mandalorian was launched, and they're both supporting or at least the flagships at the moment for, you know, these two, you know, competitive, you know, subscriptions, mm-hmm. and franchises, and where Discovery kind of like distance itself from its canon past and its visual past. This leaned heavy. Mandalorian leaned heavy on its you know, the Star Wars universe, and I think it works. Because you don't need to tell anything more. You just, you know, you see a Twi'lek or something like that, and you're like, I know what that is, you know, or you see IG-88, and you're like, oh my god, IG-88. So you don't need to, you know. So
it leans hard on the nerd knowledge.
Yes, like, but it's very hard, and a lot of the references
which is great. I mean, like I watched The Mandalorian the first four episodes, and I rewatched the one with Kaylee, and I had to do a 10-minute primer, 2 seconds into the episode to kind of get her to where you're going. So Mandalorian leans hard on the nerd cred, whereas the new movies haven't so much, and
it gets guys like Robbie like hard as a rock. And it's
jetpack
awesome
flying,
levitating, no hands.
Yes. So I mean, that's exactly where he's at. So I mean, it's like I get that, and it's really good that they've done that. Where I was kind of like, you know, obviously we've talked about this ad nauseum, where Discovery tried to reinvent the wheel in some ways, and like, why did you need to do that? So that's what I enjoyed about this. Also, the simplicity of this. There's no other story other than, you know, have gun, will travel, you know, kind of thing. So, it gets a little more complicated a little bit, but not much. So that's what I like about it, too, the simplicity of the story.
Speaking of that, that's my only critique of the thing. If it doesn't evolve beyond that, I'm worried it'll get stale quickly.
But I think that will correct itself with recurring characters and maybe overarching plots over time. But
yeah,
I mean, which we're already seeing the beginning of that right now. But
absolutely,
anyways.
Absolutely, and that's the thing is, as long as it starts to grow and mature beyond this, it's gonna be fantastic. If this is the same thing, we meet a new character, we never see them again, it's gonna be a little bit sad, I think, and that could get stale. And that's really my only critique. Negative thing I have to say out about it at all, and that's like up front, and we haven't even gotten to spoilers yet.
So here we are. We're going to get into full spoilers. So if you haven't seen The Mandalorian and you're keeping yourself a virgin until you watch it, we totally understand.
Keep yourself a virgin until you watch it.
Yes,
a Mandalorian virgin.
I'm in.
So you might want to shut off the podcast
the very
now.
First time.
But in case you just don't care and you just you're ready to hear all the pornographic details of The Mandalorian, stay tuned, because Robbie's taking his penis out again.
What do you mean taking my penis out? It never went away.
Rocket ship's flying.
People just turned off the podcast purely because I was not spoilers.
No, they didn't. They have no frame of reference as to what I look like. YouTube.com/NerdyNomicon.
Now you have all the reference you need.
At this point, I need to warn you all that with that visualization, periods of nausea are common.
And he has a Mandalorian penis tattooed on top of his penis, so...
And he doesn't have to blur much of it out. Oh, he can't tell what it is anymore.
Just all a swelling. Jumbled mess. All right, let's not talk about Robbie's penis. All right,
don't worry, my penis will make another cameo in this podcast. I'm sure.
It's just like inching its way.
Where's Holly? Holly needs to hear this.
No, she'd just run away.
I just remember when we
did
that.
She's way too chased for having Robbie's penis pop up throughout the podcast.
I just remember when you sent her a letter when one of our Nerds the Roundtable things where she read the letter and he had penis and cum in it like 16 times and she had to read it for the audience, which was pretty fantastic.
Yes, I did. I even made reference to the fact that she was going to be very very uncomfortable reading statements about my penis on podcast.
It was pretty good. This is why she's missing a great thing.
She read it exactly the way I intended her to read it. She started out very businesslike, very diplomatically, and then digressed fully into complete discomfort and then repulsion.
Yeah. Repulsion. Like most people would. Yeah.
You could exactly. You could audibly hear the vomit that she was choking back discussing my penis.
Anyways, so The Mandalorian. All right. So this came out in November 12th, 2019. I'm not going to go through full breakdown. I'm just going to just go over just the details of what happens in the first three episodes real quickly. So this happens 5 years after Return of the Jedi.
Empire's down. Ewoks are dancing. Woo, woo.
Ewoks are alive. We have the Mandalorian is taking in the one of his bounties from a ice planet, and we get a nice cool
action sequence. That Life Day is canon.
This particular bounty, is it just me, or did he not remind you guys of like one of the random ancillary demons in like a Buffy or Angel episode?
He did. He also reminded me of
the guy that shoots up the blue jizz in Zorville.
Yes! Oh, yes, geez. Bitch!
Yeah. Rob Lowe's blue alien jizz guy, yeah.
Exactly. Rob Lowe's blue alien jizz. That's right.
So he brings back this guy, and we get to see the Mandalorian fight and capture his prey in all his full glory, even take on a giant ice monster for a moment.
It was slightly more violent than I was thinking for a Disney thing, where the guy gets cut in half by the iris door, the door aperture. That was pretty cool. I was like, wow, that's pretty ballsy.
And it kind of shows that it's going to show a little bit of violence, but it wasn't anything gory, of course. It's insinuated like a Hitchcock film or something like that. Yeah. Then when he puts him in carbon freeze, so this must be a new thing. Mandalorians do now.
Well, I guess after Boba Fett proved that it works and it keeps them alive, it's like, it's on the record. Might as well make that standard issue bounty hunting stuff.
So he has. He has a whole carbon freezing unit on his ship.
No need to go to Bespin.
And maybe some Ugnaughts working there too. So who knows?
Oh man, are they playing keep away with 3PO's head? Oh, that'd be great.
I think I saw that in the background. You know, it's mandated right now that 3PO has to be in every single Star Wars IP.
I know, it gets a little like, come on, man.
Although they do have some Silicious crumbs being roasted on the Spitfire while other ones are watching in agony. Like, oh no, I'm next.
I know.
It's a semi-intelligent alien.
It's a wonderful, it's still another wonderful kind of like nerd culture thing just thrown in there. You know,
I know what that is.
Now, was Salacious Crumb his name or the species? Because I always thought that was just the name of the little dude.
It's the name of him particular, but in Star Wars, we don't know the names of so many things. That's why we're going to get to Baby Yoda, because we don't even know what the hell it's called.
That's true. You know what? Let's fast forward for just a second. I know we're going to get to it, but it's been bugging me, and I have not gone online, and I want to know if you guys know, or at least have felt the exact same feeling that I have felt. Has anybody, you, or the audience, ever wondered what the hell is under the Jawa's robes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've always wondered, are they some kind of weird, like, amalgamation of, like, machine and human, or alien that make their eyes glow? Are they, like,
some kind of spice that makes their eyes glow?
Yeah.
That's what the drugs do in Star Wars. What's some death sticks?
The spice must flow.
Need some death sticks? Jawas always have death sticks on hand.
Death sticks? Want some death sticks?
Yeah, that's good.
Utini!
Yeah, I've often wondered what they are. And why they never take off those, dirty robes.
Exactly. So I'm not trying to word that as in,
What's under the robe, Jawa? Come on, I want to see what's under that dirty robe.
There are two infected penises for eyes. It's okay.
Well, anyways.
You get so, two claps staring you in the face.
Yeah, so we have, so he brings his bounty back, and who's the actor for that? This is the guy from...
Carl Weathers.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, Carl Weathers.
Which is also the second Arrested Development reference
this
tonight.
Episode, yes. Carl nice. Weathers is all over Arrested Development.
So he doesn't have, I guess there isn't a lot of bounties. So he has, there's somebody that, there's a client that needs something that's a target that's kind of off the grid. So he has the Mandalorian go and check this out. And the Mandalorian is given a very vague place to go search for this bounty. But he pays him with Beskar steel. And
it's the stuff that will reflect laser bolts, unlike the plastic the Imperial Stormtroopers wear.
Right. And so he gets his armor kind of updated. What did he get? The shoulder piece? Is that
he gets the shoulder piece in episode one. Just one shoulder piece.
Yeah. Which is kind of cool, you know?
Yeah.
It's neat.
Looking badass.
It's like it's sort of like a video game where you slowly upgrade your
stuff. It's very much like a Skyrim or something. You go to the forge, you upgrade your armor, and you go on do your thing. It's very video game esque in this show. It's kind of interesting.
So then he comes to this planet where he finds where his bounty is supposed to be, and there is a vapor farmer named
I have spoken.
Cruelly, I can't remember how to say his name right, but.
I just thought he was called I Have Spoken.
Voiced by Nick Nolte, nonetheless.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah.
Interesting. And so he gets kind of guided by him. And apparently this guy just wants peace on his planet. And ever since this his bounty was there, there's been a lot of people coming through. There's been, you know, violence. And he wants them off the planet. So he guides him.
Get the hell off my lawn! I have spoken.
Him how. It teaches him how to ride some weird fish creature with legs.
The blarg.
The blargs.
The and blargs.
I kind of thought they could have done without that bit. That was a little bit like, okay, all right. You know, like, why are we dwelling on that? It kind of dragged for me. I could have gone fast forward that.
Yeah.
You know. So then we get to where he...
We have to know Pedro Pascal can calm the ladies like he can calm the animals.
Yes. So he takes him to the place where he's supposed to go, and this is when he's like scoping out the place. Who comes is an IG unit, IG-11, and basically it's a bounty hunter droid. And it's hilarious because it keeps on saying it'll terminate itself.
I will self-destruct. It's like, no.
Probably
stop
the worst.
Doing that.
It's probably
nobody
the worst.
Asking you to blow yourself up, goddammit.
It's probably the worst kind of bounty hunting droid you could possibly get.
It's like we're going after the same thing. Don't shoot me.
Oh, what? Visually awesome to see.
It was
very very.
It was awesome. IG-11 was my favorite character.
Did I miss the naming convention for that? Because I don't remember hearing the number.
It's listed here as IG-11.
Gotcha. It was like in the credits or something like that?
Yeah.
Got it.
But
as soon as I saw it, I just assumed it was IG-88 because if memory serves, actually it wouldn't matter anyway because Shadows of the Empire is no longer canon, but he was destroyed in Shadows of the Empire if memory serves.
Mm-hmm.
Originally in the Legends.
Rest in peace. I wish that could still happen because it was in between. It shouldn't matter if it happened, you know.
Well, that's just it. It still can. I mean, they haven't changed any canon or continuity in between those movies. So
yeah, so far as we know.
So far, yes.
Right, and this is where when they finally go through killing a ton of hired guns that are holding down this compound, Mandalorian and the IG bounty hunter get into it, and this is where we find the baby Yoda. This is the savior of all Disney and
the savior of Star Wars.
Yes,
the moment that launched 1,000 plushies.
I mean,
and memes.
My kids watched this with me, and my daughter just hit the roof when she saw baby Yoda.
My three-year-old son saw it, and he flipped out, saying, Baby Yoda, I want to watch Baby Yoda.
I know, that's my daughter.
He now refers to The Mandalorian as Baby Yoda Show.
Yeah, yeah, everything is like...
It really is the Baby Yoda Chronicles when you think about it.
It really is.
And my fiance loves Baby Yoda. It's her favorite character.
It's everybody's favorite. I mean, it's very adorable.
Yeah. All right, let's just be blunt here. Baby Yoda is so cute.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Okay? Absolutely.
Let's just put it out right out on Front Street. It's adorable. Let's move on.
Yeah, it is. It is probably the cutest thing in quite a while that we've seen.
It takes the cake from the Ewoks. I'll say that much.
Yeah, the Ewoks look like a bunch of frumpy fat asses just running.
None of the goddamn porgs or the stupid crystal foxes from Ryan Johnson's Abomination. No, we've finally got
crystal
some good.
Foxes were cool, but they were obviously a ripoff.
I like
Pokemon.
The porgs, goddammit. I have a plushy porg right here. They don't need to be exciting. They don't need to be. They're just little.
Yeah. Shoot them out of cannon. Anyways.
Yeah, shoot them out of cannon, please, love of God.
So the Mandalorian is when he faces the Baby Yoda, the IG unit says that he needs to terminate. And this
John
is when
Connor.
At least I'm not the only person that thought that.
The Mandalorian.
Sigmund Connor.
Mandalorian shoots the IG unit and keeps the Baby Yoda alive. So.
And let's not forget the way that episode ends with them both doing the ET point at each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
E.T. Yep. Touch fingers. Oh yeah, you may not have heard this episode, but we discussed that not everyone keeps their genitals in the same place. So E.T. was just waving around his penis every time he was trying to get people to touch.
Right. Yeah, let's make it.
That's just for Robbie to know, since he may not have heard that.
Now, did E.T.'s penis have Mandalorian battle armor tattooed on it as well? Because we know that E.T. does have
just the glowing STD.
In the Star Wars universe.
E.T.'s finger was his penis, and it was glowing with STDs when he touched Elliot.
Which is what the Jawa eyes are. This all ties in.
It all connects. So that's what's
it's
underneath the
It's the penis
Jawa.
Cinematic universe.
Yeah, so he was just rubbing his penis all over Elliot's forehead when he said, I'll be right here.
I'll be right here.
I'm going to jail.
Elliot's growing up now. It's okay.
Yeah, I guess. Anyways,
Elliot and E.T. have recently been into commercial together.
I know. I saw that. It's very, very nice.
So many things that are coming up in real life that we're talking about. It's so weird.
Not even planned. So next episode is The Child, and this is November 15th, 2019, and his ship comes back with the bounty, and he... when he's going back to his ship with the bounty, he finds his spaceship has been torn apart by Jawas.
Plundered by Jawas.
Mm, bastards. And so he decides that he's going to try to get back all his parts, and he chases the Sandcrawler, and this is where he has a fight trying to seize the Sandcrawler, and it doesn't quite work his way, and the little Jawas end up beating him.
He gets tased 16 times at once. I feel bad for him.
Yeah,
don't
and then
tase me, bro.
And then he goes back to his I've spoken friend, and he goes to make negotiations with the Jawa to get the ship's parts back, and they said they want the egg, and this is this large mudhorn beast that lives in a giant cave. So
it lives in a giant butthole.
Oh, is that what it? Yeah, it sort of does look.
It looked like a giant sphincter. And I was like, does anyone else think this looks like a giant sphincter? Kaylee did.
Is anybody else seeing this?
I see a giant butthole.
And as far before we proceed, let's call back references again to things that it may or may not have made you think of. When they were saying the egg, okay, all I could think of was a cross between the alien dudes in Toy Story and those little cute things in Galaxy Quest. When they were saying the egg, the egg, all I was thinking about was those things going rack, 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 rack.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny.
Very menacing. Very
does
menacing
stand
with
alone
small
on this one,
little
or?
Things are chanting.
The claw.
Claw. Yeah, there you go. Ooh.
Nice. Exactly. So the Mandalorian has to lock horns with the Mudhorn. Now, Robbie, is that Mudhorn is the creature from that we see in Attack of the Clones? Is that the same type of creature?
I believe so.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
I'm almost positive that is accurate.
Too bad it wasn't the crazy looking green thing with like the pointer arms.
Oh yeah. That
Now, are they supposed to be on Tatooine, or are Jawas in multiple worlds?
Well, I think Jawas go everywhere they want.
Jawas are everywhere apparently, because as far as I know, none of the worlds in the Mandalorian are worlds we've ever been to in Star Wars before. So this is our third desert biome. And then the planet where Mandalorian gets his jobs also have Jawas, which is also a planet we've never been to before, as far as I'm aware.
The only thing I don't like about the Star Wars universe is that very often that all the planets have different biomes, but the air level, oxygen levels are always the same.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens in Star Trek too a lot. I mean, obviously, but
well, I mean, that does not happen on Earth. The oxygen levels are not the same in Denver as they are in Buffalo.
Well, that's, you see, the thing is, my theory of Star Wars is Star Wars takes place in a micro galaxy where everything's super small and right next to each other.
Kind of like the marble in Men in Black.
Sort of, nice. Yeah, sort of like that, and that's why they can travel to very far away places using just light speed. Like the hyperdrive is a light speed, so they can get places. And they even like the light speed was broken in Empire, and they just fly to Bespin on sublight. So the Star Wars universe must be insanely tiny for them to get around, relatively speaking, with light speed and sublight engines. So my thing is like maybe they're a galaxy in some atmosphere somewhere, which is why the bombs fall and. Episode 8, they're in some larger gravity well. Trying to make that shit movie make sense.
Okay.
Magnets.
Gravity mines. Alright, so the Mandalorian is going to fight the Mudhorn again, and he goes to grab the egg, and this is when the Mudhorn attacks him. And they have this big head-on fight, and Baby Yoda saves him at the last minute by using the Force and levitates the Mudhorn, and then the Mandalorian can kill the creature. So after he comes, the Baby Yoda passes out, and then he gives the eggs to the. To the Jawas, and they give him all the parts back to his ship.
Melted Velveeta cheese. They just wipe it all over their faces.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
And eye penises.
And
maybe it soothes the STD on their face.
It's possible. You know, they take a little bit of that egg, they slide it underneath their Jawa robes.
Oh. Yeah.
Gotta wonder, what's the egg doing in there?
Lube.
What are they doing?
So then his friend I've spoken seems to be a amazing mechanic, and he puts the ship back together with the Mandalorian. So
I will fix it. I have spoken,
and he does it for free too.
He's like, I can't take that. You're my guest, man. This takes Game of Thrones like guesthood like super seriously.
Yep. It really does.
That's like, I'll fix your ship while you're here. I'll do anything you want while you're here. I'll give you food. You're safe, man. So many things. This guy takes... Yeah. He's been reading Game of Thrones, I think.
So this moves us forward into the next episode. This is The Sin. And this comes... He brings the child to the client, and he gets 20 bars of Beskar steel for bringing this bounty back to this client, which is unnamed. And by the way, I didn't mention that the client has multiple stormtroopers. That's... guarding him, and they have some kind of ties to the Empire or something. It's not very clear, though.
The scientist guy, he has a patch on his arm that is very reminiscent of the patch all the cloners and the clones at Kamino were wearing.
Interesting.
So maybe he's trying...
I did not realize that.
Maybe he's trying to clone Baby Yoda, or maybe Baby Yoda is already cloned and they're trying to verify...
Well, from what I understand, that is a working theory, is that Baby Yoda was a clone.
Of Yoda, maybe?
Yes.
I kind of want him to be the illegitimate son of Yoda, since, like, all the Jedis were just fucking, even though they weren't supposed to. That would be kind of amazing.
Oh, Jedi fucking. Now, that's a porn. That's a porn.
No, no, but just Jedis aren't supposed to have attachments. They're not supposed to fuck, and that's why Anakin turned to the
dark
side.
They're not supposed to have emotional attachments. Ain't nobody's talking about getting a nut, okay?
I don't know. I mean, it's,
Mace Windu got a nut. You know this. You know this.
I think
he was doing that librarian when he was looking for the planet. I have to go back here. Mace Windu has some questions for me.
Could you measure how big my black dick is? That's my question.
Goes right back down to Tatooine. That's how they got to know Owen and Beru. You know, let's go down to Tatooine. Let's hang out with Blow and Owen. You know that guy knows what's up. What up, Blow and Owen?
No, he was blowing everybody.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure.
Tosche Station. Do you know what goes on at Tosche Station? What happens at Tosche Station stays at Tosche Station.
It's a brothel.
Okay?
Tosche
Station. Damn right.
Power converters for his dildos.
Mm-hmm. You know that there's glory holes. You know that Tosche Station has the glory holes.
The Sand Raiders, Tusken Raiders are there just going... Lip, lip, lip.
For a good time called Blowin' Owen.
They might be blowing Owen.
Watch out for that gaffy
stick. So he brings back the child, and he asks what's the plan for the child, and he gets kind of like admonished, like that's against the code. You're not supposed to ask about that.
Don't ask, don't tell.
So
military.
And then the Mandalorian goes back to the Mandalorian's encampment. Center.
I think it's a hideout because they talk about having to be only one of them can ever go above ground at a time. It's a hidden thing. Although like the entrance to their place once they've gone to the building has a giant Mandalorian symbol, so it's not that secret if people wander in there.
It's true, but Batman, I mean their secrecy Batman also could be just to hide their numbers. Nobody knows exactly how many are in there.
Yeah.
It's like Batman having a big Batman symbol outside his Batcave.
Or it's like on Bruce Wayne's lawn. It's just cut into like all the shrubs.
I'm Batman.
How does anyone know that Bruce Wayne is Batman? And like you look at his garden, it's like, fuck.
It just spells it out.
Maybe I should have spent a little bit more time wondering about the hedge maze.
Alfred!
It'd be great if Bruce Wayne just does it in his sleep because he's just got like so many mental issues that he can't keep his subconscious down.
Or Alfred just gets old and has Alzheimer's and starts writing things in the hedges.
Anyway.
Wintertime falls on Gotham City. Batman's out there. I had to relieve myself.
Perhaps I shouldn't have. I am Bruce Wayne.
Perhaps I shouldn't have put all the yellow snow right there.
Oh, that'd be great.
Well, when he brings the child back, he gets his reward. He gets his goes back to the Mandalorian resource center.
I love how it's in a ice cream maker, which ties back to Empire Strikes Back of the guy running through Bespin with an ice cream maker.
He ran through with an ice cream maker?
There was a random extra in Empire Strikes Back who was running through with an ice cream maker. We now know what that ice cream maker is. It's a little safe thing.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, the thing holding all the Beskar. It's like it's molded after a old time ice cream maker.
I see what you're saying. You're saying the container.
Safe. Yeah, yeah. There was a guy running through with a similar container. It looked like an ice cream maker. And Empire
I've got ice cream, guys.
Yeah, it's got ice cream. I got Beskar in here.
It'd be funny if the Mandalorian opened it up. It's just ice cream. What the fuck is this? Beskar.
This is my Tutti fucking Fruity.
This is Beskar steel. So he gets his chest plate redone, and I don't know if he got anything else. His other shoulder, okay.
Yeah, so
they show the other Mandalorians there, and they're kind of shown that... there's a lot of infighting between the Mandalorians.
Well, I don't know if there's a lot. It's just I think they just got upset with him for colluding with the Empire and the Empires who destroyed the Mandalore's planet and took all their Mandalorian steel, which now has the mark of the Empire, and they're mad that Empire has their metal.
Well, he's getting it back.
Yeah, and so I don't know why they're mad about him getting it back, but I guess they're just mad that the Empire took it. And one of the guy who gives him the job to go find Baby Yoda, he says something interesting. It's like, it's harder to find the Mandalorians in the steel now.
Mm, right, right. They're just down the block.
Yeah, there's like a whole bunch of us. We have gangbangs all the time with our helmets on. It's great.
he goes back to his normal guy who gets his jobs from, and he takes a...
You went over my helmet?
You went over my helmet? So he takes another job, another bounty job, but then he asks about the child again, and, you know, he's like, that's none of your business, blah, blah, blah. So he's about to take off, and then he has this, like conscious moment where he's like, I gotta go save that kid. So he goes back, and this is where he takes on all the stormtroopers by himself on this little compound and saves this child who's being like strapped down to the table, getting in some laboratory.
They were kind of cool stormtroopers. I've never seen tactical stormtroopers with lights on their blasters. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. It was actually a pretty good fight with him and the stormtroopers.
I absolutely loved it. It kind of gave me a little bit of a flashback of some of the Marvel Netflix Marvel shows.
Marvel stuff, yeah. Daredevil kind of thing.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he takes the child, and this is where he gets ambushed by everybody, because once he takes the kid, like everybody's all the bounty hunters in the bar gets the thing. Like, yep, yeah, this is
all their trackers click on. Although I wonder why they're still active, since the bounty was given in and the payment done. Wouldn't they have been turned off at this point?
I thought it was kind of strange. I think the Imperial guy, the client, which he never showed that he killed, must have said, yeah, take this guy down.
Oh, maybe, so, yeah.
Yeah, so then there's this huge...
He called Carl Weathers and asked him about acting lessons.
Carl Weathers.
Now, so you take that Baby Yoda, a couple of lightsabers, slice up a couple of Banthas real, real paper thin, and find out what's underneath one of those Jawa robes, you got a stew going.
Yeah, stew.
that's a good stew.
That's a dirty stew.
Bantha stew with some Jawa spiced in.
Spice Jawa.
So,
Jawa must be high at the time of murdering, otherwise it won't taste right.
must be slathered in the egg. So there's a big fight at the OK Corral between all the bounty hunters and the Mandalorian, and with the kid. The kid is actually knocked out, and he's actually even looking for the kid to help him.
It's like, you do what you did with the Mudhorn. Do that again, please.
But the kid is all messed up from being in the laboratory. So, but then out of nowhere, all the other Mandalorians come out of their Mandalorian bat cave, and they, you know, take out the rest of them, and they help them escape, showing that, hey, I know we have our problems between each other, but we're still a family, and we stick up for each other.
Absolutely.
And the Mandalorian
is waiting for him on his ship.
Yes, and he takes off on the ship
cloaked in shadows,
and he gets a face off with him at the very end, and then they take off after he disposes of him.
And he was saved by the Beskar in his clothes. Damn you, Carl Weathers! I'm sure he'll be back with his own Beskar armor, acting better than anyone else.
Yeah, for sure. So those are the first three episodes. Robbie, what did you think of after you've seen all three of these?
My initial response the first time, I've seen episodes 1 and 2 twice, and I've seen episode 3 only once. I absolutely loved it. Especially that third episode, it reminded me a lot of a Western. Yeah. It reminded me of a space Western in a way that I have not seen since the days of Firefly. Not Serenity, but Firefly.
It does make me feel like it's very Firefly-esque.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, even the Mandalorian is starting to sound like Malcolm Reynolds to me. Like, I guess to a degree. I don't have enough of Pedro Pascal's like I haven't heard him talk enough to really pick up that it's his voice. Mm-hmm. And I think he was probably doing an accent for Game of Thrones anyway, like for the southern people of Dorne. But I don't know. He sounds like a Nathan Fillion to me.
The only thing that kind of took me a little bit by surprise is, and it's probably just my brief skimming of news articles about The Mandalorian when it was being announced that it was being, you know, in production. I legitimately thought that The Mandalorian was going to be female. So once I heard the voice, I was a bit confused. But, I mean, there's still a possibility that the actual voice of The Mandalorian is just, you know, a voice changer or something like that, just to hide the gender. That way their identities are never revealed. But overall, I thought that this show was amazing. I thought it was incredible. Duncan, you actually hit the nail right on the head when you said that, it was something different, something unique, something that has not felt as perfectly Star Wars since Return of the Jedi. And I agree with you. It's no big secret that I do not like the prequel movies at all. I can give a passing grade to Revenge of the Sith, but that's pretty much it. I do like the new movies. I think that Force Awakens and The Last Jedi are great movies. The Last Jedi far more than Force Awakens, but I actually love them. The only one of the new movies that came out that I am kind of meh on, I don't hate it, but I'm meh on, is Solo. The Mandalorian blows them all away because this just feels different. It feels
right. It feels right.
Than Star Wars has been. It does feel right. It feels more serious than any Star Wars movie has felt since Empire. And I know that ever since the creation of Empire, everybody has compared every piece of Star Wars intellectual property to Empire. I'm aware of that. And, you know, I can't do anything about that. But Empire just, it was a serious movie. Star Wars has always had that whiz-bang campiness, almost reminiscent of Flash Gordon. You know, it's always had that. It's always had the...
And George Lucas never shied away from saying that Flash Gordon was one of his
inspirations.
Huge,
yeah.
Precisely, yeah. Precisely. I'm trying to think of how to word what I'm thinking here. But, you know, what I mean by that is I heard a lot of people making fun of the exchange between Poe Dameron and Hux in The Last Jedi. And yeah, it felt weird. It felt out of place. But at the same time, and it did. But at the same time, when you go back and watch A New Hope, you've got Han Solo dressed as a stormtrooper. Yeah, we're good. We're fine. We're fine here now. How are you? You know, you still have that whimsical weirdness. Although I will give that bit of dialogue the fact that it did feel out of place. Star Wars has always had that.
But that was a lot quicker of a scene than the one in...
True.
The one in Last Jedi was painfully extended.
Yeah.
If it was just a second, it would have been fine. It would have been awkward, and that would have been Star Wars. But it went on too many beats.
I hear you, and I understand that. And I'm not bringing this up for an internal debate between the old and the new. The reason that I'm bringing this up is compare and contrast. Because to me, Empire was always my favorite because it took itself very seriously. You had that whimsical space fantasy. When you boil A New Hope down, the original Star Wars, the movie that everybody was lining up to see originally, boil it down to its basic parts, and you have a monk, a farmer, and a smuggler go off to fight a space wizard and save the princess. Mm-hmm. That is literally what Star Wars was. Mm-hmm. That sounds ridiculous, but then you see it and it's amazing. Then The Empire Strikes Back comes out and it takes it to a new level and it has that seriousness. Now you start to feel for the rebellion. You feel how desperate they are. You feel that desolation, that claustrophobia, that feeling that good might not always triumph over evil. You have that down note of finding out that Vader is Luke's father. Spoilers, I guess. Luke gets his hand cut off. You have that seriousness. I can think of no other movie, including the movie where you see Anakin turn to the dark side, that has captured that. Flash forward to 2019. Now we have The Mandalorian. The Mandalorian takes itself seriously. It feels like a Western. It feels like something powerful, like a movie that has something to say, a series that has something to say. It has a narrative. It has depth. It has characters. Yes, it has a little bit of campiness to it as well, as seen by the first original bounty, but it just feels real. It feels true, and it sucked me in like nothing has in a long time. Not something that I need to look for a hidden meaning for or look for any sort of analysis or even have to find some sort of way to defend or figure out why I like it. It's just, it just is. And it hits me in the same way that Logan set itself so far apart from the other X-Men movies, just being a gritty, realistic Western feel of a superhero movie. Does my rambling make any sense to you at all? Because yeah, I feel like I'm just kind of like spinning my tires here.
No, you're dude. Feels, you know, I agree in a lot of ways, and I like that it's like I said before, Have Gun Will Travel. It's simplistic. There's nothing more that you have to read into it. It's just it's a bounty hunter who has his quarry and he needs to go find it. and that's it, you know. And like Dave said, it could get repetitive if they don't, you know, maybe there's a more themes. I think the Baby Yoda thing is obviously tying into other things, and which we'll see more and more of. But I agree. It's perfect for what you're saying right there.
Yeah, yeah. I also think that this might be the perfect way to set up some future canon as well. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's doing a lot of callbacks for some of the old animated stuff. Like I know Rebels and a couple other things. They're callbacks to what happened with the Mandalorians. So at least drops, like name drops and stuff like that. So, yeah. Dave, what about yourself?
Yeah, I love, like we said up at the top, where how this leans hard on nerd cred knowledge. And it doesn't shy away from that, any little thing. I mean, down to that little bitty patch that's on the scientist guy's arm, that's very reminiscent of the Kamino patch that all the clones were wearing. So this guy probably has some cloning ties, and they're talking about extracting the material from the Baby Yoda. So are they trying to extract like genetic material to make clones? Are they trying to extract midichlorians?
That was the one thing I was afraid of. I was afraid that they were going to bring midichlorians into the mix.
Well, I mean, it's canon, unfortunately, so it's possible.
It may be canon, but I don't feel like it's anything that ever needs to be referenced again. Maybe that was just like in a book and it was burned, you know, kind of like how the recipe for Greek fire was burned at the Library of Alexandria. Yeah. You know, maybe. Can we hope?
I mean, sort of, but I mean, I know you said you hate the prequels and you love the new movies. I actually think the prequels are better because they tried to do something different. Granted, they're still terrible movies, but when you're comparing terrible and terrible, there's degrees.
Agreed, and you and I just fall down on very polar opposite sides as to what degree is what.
Yeah, I mean, like, I applaud George Lucas for trying to do something different, and I don't think a rehash of Episode 4 was great with The Force Awakens, and Rian Johnson was an abomination. And he was... He's trying
could not
to get
disagree to, more, but you and I have also debated this for years.
Many, many times, but... Rian Johnson wants to come and direct a season 2 episode. For the love of God, don't let him do it. Please, Disney, don't let him do it. His episodes of Breaking Bad are also my least favorite, so just keep him away from all the good things. But The Mandalorian is absolutely fantastic. I love it. All your ramblings about it, it feels right. It feels like Star Wars for the first time for me in 35 years. Like, Return of the Jedi was, I mean, it was my personal favorite of the original trilogy. I liked the space battle in it because I love spaceships. Jabba's Palace rescue was pretty awesome. The barge was awesome. So, like, I love Return of the Jedi a lot. So this is the best Star Wars since that, and it just feels like Star Wars and feels like how Star Wars should be. And I really hope that this is the future of Star Wars going forward. How about you, Aaron?
Yeah, yeah, like basically mimicking almost everything everyone was saying about The Mandalorian. It's just, it's perfect how it is. It's simplistic. It's not giving any kind of illusion of what it is. I mean, even the first trilogy had to do with, you know, the hero's journey. We're not even talking about that here. We're just talking about, you know, this guy who's really good at his job being a bounty hunter, and what's cooler than being a bounty hunter, you know?
Ain't nothing cooler than being a bounty hunter. We got Bosk in the mix in this show, man.
Yeah, it's going to be cool.
As a cameo, but we got Bosk.
I think we're going to see all of them. I think we're going to see Bosk, or I think we're going to see Dengar. I think we're going to see all these guys, you know, show up along the way. So,
hey, Dash Rendar is not dead.
That we know of. In the book, it was nebulous on whether he was alive or not.
True, true.
So, and that's the other thing is that, so I'm happy to see this has happened after, like 5 years, they said, after Jedi.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the expanded universe, which is... some debate. Some people are like, you know, Disney's not using it, but obviously they're drawing from some things of it, not all of it.
Jon Favreau is trying to use some of it, as evident by The Mandalorian. And if he gets regime charge, if regime hands over from Kathleen Kennedy to Jon Favreau, I think that we'll see a lot more drawn from the expanded universe.
I don't know if that's going to happen.
I really hope so. I think Kathleen Kennedy's doing a crummy job.
Well, she greenlit this.
Yes, but
You do realize that Kathleen Kennedy has bosses that she has to answer to as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that it's like anything. It's a corporation, and you need to have the skilled storytellers and all the people, the artists and the actors and everybody in place. But you also need the business people, you know, that are out there, you know, getting the money for the project and advertising it and getting it, you know, product placements and whatever else they need. All that stuff is hugely important for to get a movie of or even a series like this launched. So yes, Disney has more money than most small countries, but let's face it, you know, they do what they do because they're very good at it. Mm-hmm. And the Marvel movies are, you know, huge reason. And Favreau, obviously, he does amazing work. He just does, you know. I watched Elf with the kids recently. I was like, Favreau did this.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize it until I was watching it. It's like, oh my God. So, yeah. You know.
Elf and then, with Will Ferrell?
Yeah.
Favreau mm-hmm. did that?
Yeah.
He's in it.
Well, I know he's in it, but I mean, he's in things that he doesn't do. I did not realize that.
Yes. Yeah.
No shit.
John Favreau Knowledge Bombs. Is great.
I love Favreau. I really hope
he gets to do some Star Wars movies because he has blown it out of the park with this. I really hope he gets to do more Star Wars stuff beyond just The Mandalorian.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, he hasn't done everything right. Obviously, there's been some things he's kind of, you know, it's like he did made, it wasn't a terrible movie, but Cowboys and Aliens, it was okay.
I never saw
it. It's fun,
it was okay. It wasn't great, but it wasn't terrible.
Yeah, you can watch it.
It was what it was. It's exactly what you think a movie called Cowboys and Aliens is going to be.
Yes, right. Yeah, exactly. So, anyways, yeah, The Mandalorian, I think, is just what Disney needs. And I think if they keep with this, I don't know what you want to call it. If you keep with this sort of like mindset of what they want to deliver, I think it's perfect for what fans need. You know, that we don't need we're going to go in shaky ground, and Dave, try not to, you know, start frothing at the mouth so much, but I, you know, like Force Awakens, I didn't really have much problem with it. I thought it was a little too derivative, obviously, but I thought they did a good job launching the new episodes, and I love the characters. I really do. I love Rey. I love Poe, and you know, all the other ones they have there. I felt when it came with this new episode, the Last Jedi, I think they just fell down on a lot of things that. They lost their way for some things, and maybe we don't need that much meaning in Star Wars. You know, maybe we just need an adventure that doesn't have to give you any kind of agenda or thoughts or deeper thoughts behind anything. You know what I mean?
Maybe I completely agree with you.
Maybe it should just be fun, and it should be an adventure story, and you know.
Let's Star Trek do the intelligence, because they don't even do it right all the time.
Aren't doing it all that great all the time. Anyways,
exactly. Just let Star Wars be fun. Let Star Trek be the one trying to have a message and failing miserably.
I don't know if I'm on board with that, but I don't think that it has to be all meaning all the time. Everybody's looking at the Marvel movies as their template, and you know what? Probably with very good reason, because finally they've really gotten it right. You don't need to have the same type of movie every single time. Not every movie needs to be Iron Man, just like not every movie needs to be silly like Thor Ragnarok. Sometimes you can stand to have that espionage thriller like Winter Soldier, or, you know, a movie like Captain Marvel. Mix it up a little bit. Different movies and different series, for that matter, can be different things.
Different flavors.
Right, exactly. It works for Marvel. Why not Star Wars?
Star Wars, you know, needs to embrace that, absolutely. I mean, I think the spinoff movies, like the ones not in the main numbered trilogy, should be experimental. Like do a hard comedy. Like Solo could have been
a comedy. Solo would be amazing.
A Solo could have been a hard comedy with the Ron Howard narrating it. Without a doubt, no. It could have been a phenomenally funny.
That would be really funny if they did an awesome comedy, you know, adventure. do like Guardians of the Galaxy type of thing.
Yeah, like do a Star Wars spy movie. Do like a hard James Bond or Get Smart-esque spy movie where it's spy but a little bit of
comedy. Inspector Gadget.
Inspector Gadget. I mean, like, you could, yeah. It's Inspector Gadget in space. I mean, you could experiment with the offshoot movies and maybe play the numbered movies a little bit safer.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree. I think they can do a lot, and hopefully this shakes it up. I understand.
That was actually my problem with the offshoot movies is they felt too much like a numerical movie. The offshoot movies like Rogue One and Solo, I expected them to be something not like The Mandalorian, but like The Mandalorian, something that feels different. You know, you can have your Thor Ragnarok set in the Star Wars universe too.
Yeah.
You know, you can have your espionage spy infiltration movie. Why not give us Mission Impossible instead of Band of Brothers for Rogue One? Why not that? You know right. what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I with that movie, I was very happy with what I got, but why not that?
Yeah.
Yeah, they could have definitely leaned heavier on the Mission Impossible. I just really hope they rethink this. But I mean, supposedly in the rumor mill that like they're even putting a hold on all Star Wars movies for a couple years after the Last Jedi because of all the turmoil in Star Wars right now with the divide in the fan base.
Well, this is obviously bringing people together, like, you know, like I don't know what you want to call it. Like
me and Robbie haven't yelled at each other about this yet. It's amazing. This is something. Yeah. Oh, well, Star Wars fans are agreeing. I think I saw an article like earlier today or yesterday. It says they basically headlined, I didn't read it, but the headline was fans aren't arguing over the Mandalorian, and it's weird.
Yeah.
Just for your audience's sake, Duncan and I have never yelled at each other over our disagreements on Star Wars.
No. But
we completely disagree, and I will not yield. I am completely on the other side of almost everything you have to say about these new movies. I do not agree with you about 98% of it, just like you don't agree with me. But
I will not yield.
And that's fine. That's fine. I'm not trying to change your mind.
I move for no man.
The point here that everybody should be taking, audience and no, is you can disagree in 2019. It's okay. It's fine to have a discussion. It's fine to not like something. Duncan hates The Last Jedi. I think it's one of the best Star Wars intellectual properties that's been ever made. Don't like it if you don't like it, but just be cool to those who do. And if you love it, be cool to the people that don't. They don't have to like everything that you do. It's okay. Absolutely. It's okay to have a difference of opinion. And relax, it will be fine.
And it's also okay for The Mandalorian to be unilaterally loved across the board.
So, like you said, Dave, I think they have to look at what making this successful, you know, and maybe it is the simplicity of it. They're not trying to do anything more than just. And that's the other thing is that's the problem with the films is they're trying to put so many characters into it and they're stuffing all these narratives and some got shortchanged. Like I thought Poe was like bookends on the last movie. Like he's heavy in the beginning and he's very light through the rest of it. And then he's heavy in the end.
Well, they originally were going to kill him in The Force Awakens, and then they decided not to at the very last second. Yeah. So, like, I'm sure his characters writing for him kind of got shook around a bunch.
I disagree with the reason that I've read as to why they kept him around, though.
I don't know what the reason was. I just know that they were originally going to kill him, and then they ended up not.
They were, but in the character treatment and in the extended universe novels and the comic, as you well know, the comics are being brought up by Marvel and stuff like that. Poe is a pansexual, but leaning very, very far into the homosexual side. So they specifically did not kill him off just to have more representation in the universe,
but there's
which to me feels like a shitty way. Or shitty reason to keep someone around.
If the
character should die, they should die.
Well, it's,
I don't care their race, alien species, sexuality. To me, that does not matter. The story matters.
Exactly. The story is what matters. It's just like Star Trek Discovery, them killing Culber, then bringing him back because, oh my God, they killed the gay guy. And that was off. I was like, it doesn't bringing him back wasted like 4 episodes of season 2. Did you see season 2? Of Discovery? Yeah.
No, I have not seen it
yet. Oh, I'm sorry.
Spoilers. Yeah, I agree. And like the whole idea is like, you know, it's great to have representation for sure, but I mean let's not like make that the whole reason for anything. Let's just have characters come and go as You know,
I agree. And honestly, there's nothing in the first two films that strikes me where he's leaning heavy as gay.
I would not know. I would not know at all.
There's nothing to indicate that in the movies. He lets Finn have his jacket. Okay, maybe he's nice. Finn was wearing it half the movie because he abandoned the jacket and the TIE fighter. I mean, like, okay. I mean, there's nothing to suggest that he's gay or pansexual or anything. He's just a guy.
I totally agree with you. I totally agree. And there's nothing wrong with representation. I think there should be a lot more representation. But A, do it well and do it right. And B, do not use tokenism while doing it. Let the story be the story. Let the characters facilitate the story. That is what narrative should be. Instead of letting an agenda fuel absolutely everything. And let the story be the story. If Poe was supposed to die, he should have died. Period.
And just that's the whole thing. It's that, you know, Mandalorian doesn't have, at least so far, anything that they're pushing, any kind of like, you know, this person's gay, this person's straight, this person's pansexual, this, you know, or whatever. It's just an adventure, and we're not looking into anything else. And
exactly.
It's like let's just have fun with it. And you know, the Marvel films are getting a little like they want to have representation, and I get that, because when the Marvel Universe was first created, I mean, we're talking 1960s and things were different, even though, you know, Stan Lee was very progressive, you know, and he definitely wrote in characters like the Black Panther and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't know. It's just like we don't need a character or a movie just for that. Let's just have good stories and have representation along the way.
It's basically something like I said last week. It's just like, I mean, I personally don't care about representation. I mean, it shouldn't be the goal of them. I mean, like, I'm not saying it shouldn't not be the goal, but I'm like, if that's the focus more than the story, then you're disserving the story. Like, I don't care if the character's white, black, Asian, gay, straight, pansexual. I don't care. As long as the movie's good, the characters are interesting, and, you know, there's someone to aspire to for being heroic and someone who's, like, bad and evil. You know, like, when you've got clear lines of the characters and how you feel about them based on what they do, not who they are. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, like,
the
minutiae. I mean, like, let them stand out for being, you know, heroic or good. Like, the Mandalorian, he stands out. He's, like, protecting Baby Yoda. I mean, like, that's stand up, and he's great. And he's being Baby Yoda's mama. That's great.
Baby Yoda's mama?
Yeah, he's Baby Yoda's mama now.
He's the Yoda baby mama.
Yoda baby mama. Yeah, it's like just story should come first, and representation, fit it in where you can, but don't make that the focus. And that was the problem with Discovery. They're just like, oh, we got to have gay people in there, and they're going to be a big part of the story, but they're not. We're just going to waste time.
I actually praised the way they did it in the first season. And
they did a really good job in the first season. The second season's what kind of made me annoyed.
That's what I've heard. Again, let the character be the character. The sexuality of the character should not be the character. At that point, it's actually insulting, at least in my point.
I completely agree.
Yeah, yeah. I honestly don't. I don't care either way. It's fun to see good characters, and it's fun to see interesting characters. I haven't seen the second season yet of American Gods.
I haven't seen it yet either.
But the first season, you know, there's like this like huge like hot gay sex with a djinn. And, you know,
I had nothing to say about that. There was nothing wrong with that.
I thought it was a great sequence, and I thought, it's an interesting story. It's actually written in the book as well. So I read the book, so it's great. So who cares? Who gives a shit? If it's great for the story, put it in, you know? But let's not, like, just, you know, like,
shoehorn it in just to hit a check mark. And I feel like that's what Star Trek Discovery is doing. Shoehorning it in just to hit a check mark.
Exactly.
Yeah. And going back to Discovery, too. Now, Robbie, I know your background's different when it comes to Star Trek. You know Star Trek, but you're not, like, a huge fan of Star Trek.
And you did review season one on
But your, you did review season one, on and you gave it glowing reviews.
Yes. I did more than just review it. I actually gave it a full-on analysis.
Yeah.
Yes, and I would suggest everyone to to look that up as well, his sinful analysis of season one of Discovery, because I think he did
it was great. It was really well done.
In fact, I called him up and I told him how good it was. So
yeah, you didn't even text me. You flat out called me.
Yeah, but seeing the two, obviously we're only three episodes in, so this thing could totally blow itself apart by the end of like IG-88 or IG-11.
I initiate self-destruct.
But when you put these two together, like, what are your thoughts?
Put the two as in
like
Discovery as opposed to
the Mandalorian. Obviously, they're different flavors, but like, obviously, the franchise that they're launching,
they're both launching the streaming service.
Awesome.
Okay. Here's the thing, and I do apologize about the fact that I am on a Star Trek podcast. However,
I was gonna say some mean things.
We've said many mean things about Discovery.
That's okay.
I'm gonna try not to be mean about it, but Disney Plus did it right with The Mandalorian. They gave us something different in feel, tone, texture in that regard, setting it in a well-established universe without breaking canon and changing things that people already know and already feel, you know, an acceptance toward. Whereas Discovery challenged a lot of people. And in my opinion, they probably went about a lot of the things that they did the wrong way, specifically the aesthetic of the Klingons.
Yeah.
People went to war over that. Over the Klingon War, people went to war. I feel like Discovery was a bit too clever for its own good. Mm-hmm. I think that The Mandalorian is doing it perfectly. They're giving us something that we haven't felt before or in a long time. And they're doing it in a way that feels good to the fans. It feels good to the people that are coming in new. You've got the, you know, Baby Yoda to bring in the new, to bring in the newbies. You've got all the bounty hunters to bring in us with a little bit of an edge. You know, it's different and it's new, but it's well within the old. Whereas Star Trek Discovery decided, hey, we're going to do this. You're cool with it. I'm not even going to ask. But yeah. You're cool with it.
You're cool with it, right? You're right. And you're like, no. I mean, some people were, obviously, but I agree. And I think the bad thing, too, Discovery obviously put itself in a bad footing because it put us before a lot of the old episodes. So it was trying to reconcile 1960s look with a modern tech, you know, modern CGI and aesthetic. Right, exactly.
I realized it was in 1999, but I feel like Galaxy Quest did that perfectly.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's 20 years later, but I'm sorry. Somebody already did that and succeeded.
They did it.
Where are you? You know what I mean?
I agree, Robbie, because like we've said earlier about The Mandalorian, they leaned hard on the nerd cred and did not set anything up. It just started, and it was what it was. Whereas Star Trek Discovery, they put it on a pay platform, and instead of leaning on the hard nerd cred knowledge of the people who were going to watch it, because only the hardcore were going to watch a Star Trek show and pay for it on a platform that had basically nothing else that they would want to watch. Instead, they tried to make it for everyone when only the main Star Trek people were going to watch it anyway. So they missed a huge opportunity by not doing what The Mandalorian did, by just leaning on nerd knowledge and just letting the show go and not trying to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah,
exactly.
And that's the thing is, like, with The Mandalorian, just the visuals, they telegraph so much without saying anything. And that's what's perfect about it. You have an established Star Wars universe. You don't have to reinvent anything. You can just keep the same visuals and just move forward. And part of that's
down
the genius.
Down to the damn ice cream maker.
Down to the ice cream maker, right, exactly. But that's the genius of what George Lucas and crew did back in the early 70s to 80s, is they made a timeless-looking visual look.
Yeah.
Where obviously we're kind of at a disadvantage because when you're talking about 1960s original series, as much as beloved to a lot of people, it just does not hold up whatsoever.
I mean,
so
if Star Trek came out in the 70s instead of the 60s, it would have been so much easier to adapt to Discovery, probably.
Except yeah, it probably hair. Would have.
It's like those 4 years fucked Star Trek hard in a visual way that can't be rectified, and they're just shoehorning in.
Well, and to be honest, other than the redesign that JJ did for the Enterprise, like the visual look of it, I thought they did a lot of stuff okay. I wasn't the sets. I was never like terribly off put in the costumes. I thought looked all good for, you know, the
JJ reboots.
With Chris Pine and stuff like that. I thought the redesign of the Enterprise, those nacelles are so fucking ugly. But besides that, I think that was okay, and I could handle a lot of stuff with Discovery, the changing of the look and everything. But I always felt like Robbie said, we changed everything, and you're all right with it. And a lot of people,
they don't ask you a question; they just tell you that you're going to be
goddamn. Yeah, and you know, it has its issues, and you're just like, why would you do that? Well, I mean, it just frustrates you. So
and
some people are all right with it, and that's cool too. I mean, so there's parts I loved about Discovery, and I thought they did some things wonderfully.
And then
other things I thought was like, what the fuck are you guys doing? So, but anyways, I just was curious, Robbie, your take on that, and Dave, obviously, now that we're talking about The Mandalorian, I like I said, after I watched the first two episodes, I just was playing the two in my head together and thinking, like, what did Mandalorian got all this right? I mean, it was just perfect. It's just what you needed to see.
So what Star Trek Discovery should have been. It should have just been bam out of the gauntlet, just perfect. And it's still trying to find itself, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, haven't you famously said that Star Trek usually doesn't know what the hell it is until season 3 or 4?
Yeah, but that shouldn't be the case in 2016.
That should never be the case.
Yeah, no, it should never be the case, but it's...
It should never be the case. And when you said that about Star Trek, literally my jaw dropped. And you're not the only person that I've heard that from. No other television show in existence ever gets that kind of grace period.
The only ones that were so insufferable,
we give it to it because we just we know it's gonna get there because it always has in the past.
Well, the original series, the first two seasons are great. Third season is garbage, and then Next Gen. The first season is watchable and it's okay. It's just not great. It just gets better and better as time goes on.
Second season's a little bit better, but third season is where they hit the stride. Same thing with Deep Space Nine and kind of Voyager.
It's just not terrible. They're just not good. They're just not like I gotta watch this every, you know. So anyways, but that was a different time. Like now we're like we've made the comparisons before. I mean,
Game of Thrones, Black Sails, everything is just Vikings. Yeah,
everything's good immediately, and if it's not good, on to the next one. You know,
and Star Trek should not have done that again. We're waiting to season 3 to get good, and season 3 looks really shady. I'm way more excited for Picard than season 3 of Discovery. So I don't know.
Yeah,
it's questionable if season 3 will even be where they hit their stride in Discovery. I mean, I hope so, but
What is down the pike after this with Mandalorian? Obviously, Mandalorian's going to do season 2. What other?
It would be stupid not to.
Yeah, what are the what's the other one? I forgot what the other they're going to do another series.
Obi-Wan, I think, is going to be in a series.
Obi-Wan,
instead of a movie. Boba Fett might be a series now, although I don't know why we need
give us a Boba Fett series. Don't do it. Give us a cameo in The Mandalorian. I think it's kind of hard to do. Give it to us here.
I don't think we need a Boba Fett series. I mean, this is already basically the Boba Fett series.
Yeah.
I mean, like, a second show about a Mandalorian would be redundant, I think. I really hope they do not do a Boba Fett series. I hope Boba Fett is a recurring character, maybe. But other than that, I mean, we don't need a Boba Fett series. But Obi-Wan, I think it was going to be a movie. I think it's now going to be a series, I think. And then, supposedly, Boba Fett is a series. But I don't know what else for Star Wars on television. I'm sure there's lots of things in development, but I don't know. I haven't heard of anything else.
Well, Obi-Wan could be wonderful because there's a lot you can tell. After Revenge of the Sith, he gets old. So there's a lot you can say. Even if he
gets old and hangs out with Blowin' Owen.
How many times has he been to Tosche Station?
Oh, he's been grabbing those power converters.
How many Tusken Raiders has he been hanging out with to know they're scared of that particular sound? It's like, hey, let me show you some. I'll scare some Tusken Raiders. I'm scared of that for some reason. I have no idea.
Yeah.
The only thing I could think of to say was Woutini!
Woutini!
They're all excited.
Yeah.
You know that's their mating call.
Is it?
I have no idea.
I thought it was like coffee's ready.
It just sounded good at the moment, unlike what I said.
Yeah, I don't know. I whatever. I think that could be good because I mean, who doesn't love a good Jedi story, anyways? You know, I do.
I mean, I like Jedi. Yeah. I'm just not crazy about Obi-Wan. Although Obi-Wan could be like the Mandalorian, it could be filling in that nice gap in between the trilogies, which the Mandalorian will probably end up doing from like a different point of view, which would be kind of nice. But yeah, I'm more excited for more Mandalorian than Obi-Wan personally. I could see a good Obi-Wan. I hope it'll be good, but I'll definitely give it a watch. But I'm not as excited about it as more Mandalorian. Mandalorian, give me more of that. Maybe there'll be a Baby Yoda spinoff.
Ooh, sure. I'd watch that in a heartbeat.
I'm sure there will be.
Yoda babies, they make our dreams come true.
Muppet Baby reference callback.
Ming-Na Wen is supposed to show up at some point in The Mandalorian. I'm still waiting to see her. I'm excited to see who she'll be.
Who does?
Ming-Na Wen.
Okay.
Ming-Na Wen, she's an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I can't think of anything else she's been in.
Yeah, she's like going to be like an evil assassin or something.
I don't know. I hope so, because she does the evil assassin thing very well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she does.
So I would love to see her. It'd be great if she's like she joins the Mandalorian's crew, because I'd love to see her in more stuff more often.
Right, right. Yeah. So I mean, obviously, there's some cool stuff, and after this last movie that's coming out, I know they're gonna work up the next trilogy. It might be a while before we see it, but.
Yeah, they said they're pumping the brakes on it. I think it's going to be there's going to be at least a 2-year gap in between Episode 9 and the next Star Wars movie, supposedly. Mm-hmm. And maybe for the love of God, they'll do what they'll do what Marvel did and actually set up a plan for the movies, because from what I've been reading, evidently because Rian Johnson ruined 8 so bad, they actually had to go to George Lucas and talk to him about how they could fix things for Episode 9. Before they even started writing the script, after they fired Colin Trevorrow, Kathleen Kennedy and J.J. Abrams went to George Lucas and was like, where should we go now? We're fucked.
we're fucked.
It's what it seems like from an article I read. They went to George Lucas and needed his help and guidance before they even started writing the script for Episode 9. So many articles come about Star Wars, who knows which ones are true or not. But if this is indeed true, that's kind of interesting that they've gone back to George Lucas after they threw away his treatments and then said that there was no guidelines for the new movies.
Well, I mean, with that it said, I mean, obviously, George Lucas's visions the prequels are shaky at best. I mean,
yes.
I give him a pass with the prequels a little bit, just because he hadn't done movies in so long. And I felt like the first two movies, well, the first movie is Phantom Menace, is total navel-gazing, you know?
Yeah.
That's putting it nicely.
Well, it's just funny when you watch the special features of it, he realizes it's a bad movie, and he's like, we have no way of fixing it at this point. Mm-hmm.
Attack the Clones, I obviously want to put more action to it, but it needed
another six-armed chicken.
George Lucas can't write dialogue, and he can't direct actors.
Well, the chemistry between Anakin and Padme or that story is just so, you know, wooden.
It's just like, I wish from evidently he tried to get other people to direct the movies, but everyone just like, no, you do it George. I guess they figured that he would just meddle in it too much and it wouldn't really be their movie. Mm-hmm. So everyone just said let George do it. I really wish they wouldn't have, because we might have gotten some better stuff happening. Because George Lucas, he's a great ideas guy. Like, Star Wars is a great idea. He's just not good at the nitty-gritty.
I agree with Robbie. I think Revenge of the Sith, although not being great, it's the best out of all of them.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's definitely watchable, and you could watch it multiple times and not, like, want to like run out a plate glass window. Yeah.
Oh God, no! You can watch it multiple times and pick up new things.
Yeah,
that's just it. And you know what was really interesting to me was that second episode had so little dialogue in it. It was that actually felt refreshing to me. And I realized that some people didn't really care for it, but it felt very Mad Max Fury Road to me. It focused very heavily on the show, don't tell. I don't need people audibly giving me exposition. Yeah. Show me that you're a badass. Right. Show me what's going on. It didn't need a hell of a lot of exposition and dialogue.
Show me that 3PO can be paired with a battle droid. Show it to me.
That's right.
Pull out that blaster, yeah. Boy.
Yeah, so I think Disney's Plus is off on a good start, and there's going to be way more that we're going to be seeing coming out of that. The Marvel stuff looks amazing. That they're going to have
so many Marvel shows, like a Loki show, a
Moon Knight. They're going to have
She-Hulk. Like oh my God,
She-Hulk is like so She-Hulk has always been one of my favorite.
I cannot wait for that.
I love her too. I can't wait to see.
They're going
to
do a What If series. So
I heard that too.
There's going to be a Loki series.
A series maybe if they don't fire him for battery or whatever he's been doing.
I don't know. But anyway, so there's a lot of cool stuff going on there. So
Disney Plus is going to have a lot of stuff. CBS All Access is going to need to try hard. Well, I mean, I guess that's what they're trying to do because, I mean, they've got Discovery, Picard, Lower Decks. They're going all in with Star Trek, and I wonder how fast the fan fatigue will set in because, I mean, that's the reason they kind of canceled Enterprise because CBS was citing fan fatigue.
Yeah.
So that was just one show. They were just like four shows that just barely touched each other as far as their overlaps went. Now we're going to have four Star Trek shows running concurrently, and then there's two or three others in the mix. Section 31 has been re-talked about in the news lately.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
I mean, we've got Lower Decks, which is coming out late 2020, I think. The cartoon show. There's the Nickelodeon cartoon, which is actually aimed at kids. I mean, there's so much in the pipeline for Star Trek, and it's exciting and kind of scary.
Yeah, yeah, could be. Could be good. Could be awful. But hey, you know, every once in a while we get to celebrate something. And
absolutely, Mandalorian is so great.
Definitely get a chance. You know, get those hands on those episodes and watch them
if you
haven't.
Give them a watch. Yeah, if you're still with us and you haven't seen them, please watch them. They're so good. And this is what Star Wars should always be.
This is what Star Wars can be, and you said it best, should always be. It should not be an intellectual property that divides us. It should be an intellectual property that we can all come together and enjoy. Let your debates be about the different colored lightsabers that, you know, that you would wield yourself. Don't let it be about whether or not a movie is a garbage fire or whether or not it's not even a brilliant piece of art, just good. You know what I mean? Because that's what these movies have done so far, is they've divided fans so far on polar opposites that people don't even enjoy speaking about Star Wars, yes. And on that note, it's great to have a discussion here with Duncan where we're both on the same side. You know, we tend to love the same intellectual properties. We just don't agree on pretty much everything. This is something we both agree on.
Finally,
by the sounds of it, for the same reasons, too. I think the only other thing that you and I have ever really agreed on was Game of Thrones.
Yeah, we've agreed on some Game of Thrones stuff. It's just funny that you love the new movie so much, but then you insist that the Mandalorian is how it should be done.
Just because the Mandalorian is how I think that the side stories should be done does not mean that I think that the new movies are bad. When I said that this is how they should be done, I was specifically referring to the side stories. I like the aesthetic and I like the feel of the numerical movies. I expected the side stories to be something different. I didn't expect it to be a Han Solo standalone movie. I don't want that. I wanted something like The Mandalorian. I wanted something with a different character, with a new character that takes place in the Star Wars universe that doesn't have to have anything to do with anything else. Sure, show us some stormtroopers. Sure, show us what the First Order actually does, or, you know, how people are living under the Empire. Show us that. It can all tie together. Have somebody mention Obi-Wan Kenobi in a bar. I don't need to see it. I don't need to have that as a central part to the story. Have it be a piece of the background and tell your story in that.
Yeah. Robbie, did you ever play any of the role-playing games for Star Wars?
I played – oh, shit. What is the name of it? It's the three-part series games. Old Republic. I played the first one. I played the first one of those. I played Battlefield and Battlefield 2. I've played Shadows of the Empire. But
you're talking about the video games, right?
Right. Okay. I never played any of the tabletop games.
Yeah, so tabletop games when I was back in the 90s, they had West End Games, which is based all just on the pure of the first trilogy. And the Force isn't as powerful, but what's cool about it, we used to play the shit out of that game. I mean, so many long campaigns we played into that. And, you know, same idea, you know, like, you know, the bounty hunters and just side characters that you'd never know. And they're just in the Star Wars universe. And it's wonderful. And that's what I was excited. It feels like one of those. It feels like I don't need to hear another story about Luke or Leia or anybody. Right. Tell me a totally different story.
You have a whole fucking galaxy out there. Yes. That was actually why I loved the fact that Rian Johnson made it. This is the only reference that I'm going to make to that movie because I don't want to get into it on this. We want to celebrate Star Wars, not argue. But that was the biggest reason that I loved when Rian Johnson made it so that Rey's parentage did not matter. It is a whole galaxy out there, and Star Wars up to that point existed within a very incestuous bubble. Mm. It doesn't Game need of Thrones to be incest. That way.
It's funny. Way. Yeah, it's funny because I never read The Force being that you had to have, you know, a certain lineage. It was only, you know, like obviously alluded to that Luke was strong with the Force, and so apparently Leia
because
was too.
Because his father was.
Because his father and sure, was.
I mean, definitely implied his lineage.
I'm fine with bloodlines, you know, being a factor, sure, but does that have to be the only deciding factor? Because if people decide to stop procreating, then the Force dries up as far as Jedi usage, you know what I mean?
But it's like anything. It's like, you know, people, you know, have children and, you know, like, yeah, dad's a big, strong guy, so is son, you know, or
exactly.
dad's a wiry guy and so is son or whatever, you know, these are just like traits. But sometimes coupling people together, you get something totally different that you would never have before. So, and maybe that person is just freakishly smart or freakishly Jedi. Strong or a super Jedi, you know? So, yeah, I don't know. Cool.
So if Luke and Leia did the incest thing like in Game of Thrones, their kids would be twice as strong as Vader.
Or they'd be all
combining the midichlorians. That's just it. Luke and Leia did do the incest thing, and that brought us to the Marvel comics, the Marvel continuity, seeing as though Star Wars has already been bought. Where do you think Phoenix comes from?
Oh, nice. You think that's
what all happened? Ties into the X-Men, too.
I'm just lying
to you now.
There was a Star Wars...
It's the greatest fan fiction.
There was a Star Wars comic where Han Solo crashed and died... And Indiana Jones discovered the Millennium Falcon buried under the ground.
Oh my god, that's amazing.
That is so good.
There is a story called Splinter of the Mind's Eye that takes place before, I believe it's before Empire, and that was before Empire was even released.
No, it was Empire, and then it was the follow-up to New Hope, and then none of that, it became uncanonized because of the actual sequel to Star Wars.
Gotcha.
Because it went a completely different direction, but I think it was based.
Oh yeah, because Luke and Leia did the dirty.
Yes, they should, and that way they have a baby stronger than Anakin. Ooh. Or it'd be mad like Joffrey, but be stronger
severely
than
disabled.
Mad like Joffrey.
Mad like Joffrey, but very strong.
Or what was it? Legion, which is Professor X's son, who's like freakishly like telepathic, telekinetic,
extra telepathic.
But he's like really disturbed. So,
yes,
I love Legion. Aubrey Plaza is amazing in that.
And apparently, the Legion director is going to do the new Star Trek movie. So,
I believe that's what I heard. Yeah.
Anything else we want to talk? I think we should probably wrap this up. Yeah.
But yeah, I think we'll give it another couple episodes and then come back to the Mandalorian to discuss the next little batch of episodes.
Yeah, if you guys want to have me back on, I'd love to talk the next batch.
Let's do it, Robbie.
You are always welcome onto our show. You can just walk into me while I'm in the bathroom, and I'll be all right with it.
I mean, we need the penis talk in the middle of the intro. I mean, it's brilliant.
You know what? I am there for you. I am there for you.
That's what friends are for. Well, excellent, Robbie. Yeah, we love having you on the show. And you can catch up with us, as always. You go to the Facebook group, Facebook.com/groups/Synthaholics. Join the group there. There's always a lively discussion about many things. Some things good, some things bad. You can email us at Synthaholics@yahoo.com if you want to explore something more, or even if you want us to read something, let us know.
Yeah, we can read that on the air.
You can put an audio clip, but give us your explicit permission to either play it or read it.
Now, let me just ask you this. By write you things that you'll read on the air, does that include Star Trek erotic fiction?
I really thought that would be a fun Patreon reward if Aaron and I read erotic fiction back and forth.
Like slash fiction with Scott, Spock, Kirk.
Doing it. I want to hear Holly read the Star Wars erotic fiction.
Well, but we have to play parts. Like, that'd be fun.
Let her be the overall narrator. And then Kirk's jism slid down Picard's bald
dome, glistening.
She was the narrator when we read the computer-generated Star Trek script.
Yeah, there was a computer-generated, like they had an AI watch like a ton of episodes of Star Trek, and they had it write a show, and it was just hilarious.
Really?
We read that at the beginning of an episode a couple episodes ago.
Just for fun.
Must have missed that one. I'm sorry. I've had some pretty big things going on with them the last couple of weeks.
Rosie had a little baby.
I did indeed. A little girl named Veronica Ray.
Very awesome. Yes.
The middle name being, you know, Ray.
Ray Palpatine, as the rumors seem to be indicating.
We'll see.
Yeah. Why not just give more incestuousness into the Star Wars universe? Because, you know, random people don't have talents at all either, right? Yeah.
No, they don't.
Sometimes I feel like an NPC in my world. anyways.
So that's the most self-deprecating thing I think I've ever heard. I just feel like an NPC in my own life.
Yes, I do sometimes, believe me. I just stand in a corner bouncing back and forth because I don't know where to go.
Do you at least give quests away or something like that? Or
you just give the dot 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 in the text box?
Yeah, sometimes. So yes, you can do all those things by emailing us there at our Yahoo page. You can also go to our YouTube if you want to subscribe there, YouTube.com/Synthaholics. Robbie's got his YouTube page, which he is very active on. It's Nerdynomicon.
YouTube.com/Nerdynomicon.
He was doing the 31 days of Halloween, but would you get to 18?
Last year I was able to complete it. This year I was not able to complete it. There were some outside factors, including, you know, a baby that kind of got in the way of that. Things have been a bit tumultuous. I like to say behind the scenes, but in reality, in this particular case, with my own personal life, it had really nothing to do with the production or anything like that. It was things and situations in my own life. Mm-hmm. They kind of got in the way, so I was not able to finish this year.
Yeah.
But I'm off on paternity leave right now and working very hard on my Sinful Analysis series. I've got a Ghostbusters episode coming up. I've got a Nightmare on Elm Street episode coming up. A Galaxy Quest episode is going to be coming up.
Nice.
Scripts are written for 2 out of 3 of those. The Galaxy Quest episode I just decided to do. So the script isn't written there. And I also do a weekly show called The Weekly Wake Up.
Right.
Where I basically, the whole idea is to tell you, like, on this day in pop culture history, this happened. And finding a reason to celebrate every single day of the year.
On this day, a random extra walked through the Cloud City set holding an ice cream maker.
I'd be fine with that. I can put that on the show. Give me a date, I'll fucking do it for you, man.
I have no idea. I had to bring that ice cream maker
back. Do some research. I'm sure it's on the dark web. But yeah, I... the whole idea is basically just to look back through history and pop culture history, just to talk about, you know, what got us to where we are right now. Because right. even as far as Star Wars go, you don't get to Star Wars without going through Flash Gordon first.
Sure.
Period.
Sure. You know Seven what I mean? Samurai and stuff like that, right?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yes, that's awesome, and definitely subscribe to his channel, the Nerdynomicon, on YouTube. He's got a lot of content on there, and his sinful analyses are often very entertaining and hilarious at the same time. So,
absolutely, very good stuff.
Definitely do that. Go to our Twitter. Also, you can follow us at Synthaholic Duo, and Robbie's at the Nerdynomicon. So you can mm-hmm. check it out there. And as always, if you feel like the show is worth supporting, please go to our Patreon, patreon.com/Synthaholics, and support us there. And
your Patreon's Artful Gremlins?
No, it's Nerdynomicon.
Oh, sorry, okay.
It's Nerdynomicon all the way around.
Okay, gotcha.
Gotcha. Yeah, and you can do Robbie's too if you go onto Patreon and check his out too as well. And as always, just talk about the show to your friends, to your family members. Holidays are coming up. You know, let them know that, hey, you know, you could listen to Nerdynomicon. You could listen to the Synthaholics while you're smoozing your family so you don't have to interact with
them. Oh, yeah. Actually, on Thanksgiving, we got a new subscriber. Kaylee's cousin subscribed to us.
I had a job.
Nice.
Junior. So, yeah. Can you hear this, Junior? Hey.
Hello.
So so definitely share the podcast with people you know that might enjoy that. So that'd be awesome. Robbie, awesome to have you.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm so glad we could work this out.
I wanted so much to have you on this episode too, because you are a huge fan of Star Wars, and also you're a huge fan. I knew of Boba Fett, even though Mandalorian is not technically Boba Fett, but he's
close enough.
Close enough. So.
Yeah, close enough, let's be honest. I love the line at the end of episode 3 when the one dude's flying in a jetpack and kind of gives that rocketeer salute.
Yeah.
It was very rocketeer.
I got to get one of those.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. So I knew I wanted you to hear what you had to say about it and what your thoughts on it, because it is it's a fucking wonderful series so far. So
it really is.
Well, everyone, thank you so much for downloading the show and listening. Live long and prosper, one and all.
One and all.
All for one.
And one for all. Mars. Will McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink before the night's over. Shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had. Thanks so much, Robbie.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, guys. This has been so much fun. I actually really needed this.
Awesome.
Than you realize, I actually really needed tonight.
Awesome. I'm glad we could facilitate that. Was it? Dave's been busy working two jobs. I've been working around the clock, as I think I've messaged you more than once, just telling you where I'm at. So,
hey, give me just like girls 10 seconds. Like, let me grab my phone charger, because I got to get some extra juice on my phone. Give me like 10 seconds.
Get some juice. That's so awesome. I love that iPad app. It's so great.
It's awesome. Glad you found something good work around.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And one day when I get a new iPad, I mean, I don't even have to use a laptop anymore ever.
I'll just scream into the air and it'll come back levelated.
Exactly. It'd be great.
That's what you call using the cloud.
Yes.
And I'm back.
Welcome back.